Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 3rd of July. Lots to cover today. I'll do the bets first, a bit of bet action. Horses first. I think we had a each way place yesterday. The shorty got third, backed into 7-4, but piss poor. And the trade didn't just trade, it went on and won again. A couple of those have done quite well recently. Right, today the shorty, and it's been backed already this morning since I looked at it first, is Lever de Soleil in the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh. I looked this morning, it was about 2-1, it's now 6-4. I wouldn't want it to go much shorter to get involved. If you can get 6-4 or better, then carry on, but I wouldn't want to be backing it less than 6-4 if I'm honest myself. But it's Lever de Soleil in the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh. The each way, got to wait all the way till tonight, is Lady Olenna in the 9 o'clock at Bellowstown. Lady Olenna in the 9 o'clock at Bellowstown. That's the each way shot. And the trade, I like a lot, saying whenever I'd say that it goes pear shaped, but I like this one, is Ras La Sad, Royston French, another course and distance winner, drawn really well in the 3:30 at Musselburgh, currently round about 5. So Ras La Sad for a 30% trade, Lady Olenna in the 9 o'clock as an each way, and Lever de Soleil in the 3 o'clock, the shorty. Rasselad's in the 3:30, by the way. Football, there is nothing. There's some games overnight in MLS which I won't be involved with, and I'm not involved in this game, but I'm going to give you this info. I looked at the Brazil-Argentina game last night just out of interest, really. I priced that up and had a look, and it didn't... I couldn't find anything, but in doing that I found myself drifting on to the Chile-Peru game, and I think Chile are a huge price tonight. I think 1.97 Chile. I'm going to leave a bet, you know, I'm not going to trade it, I'm just going to back Chile and leave it. I just can't, I think Peru, you know, they were lucky to beat Uruguay. I haven't watched a lot of it, but I've got all the figures, and I just think Chile are a massive price tonight, 1.98. I had them a lot shorter, and this is purely on numbers again. And I think the over 2.5 is ridiculously big. So that is one I would trade. I wouldn't just say put a bet on. You can put a bet on and leave it if you want to. That's your own responsibility. My preferred would be to back the over 2.5 and then remove liability when a goal goes in, but it doesn't kick off till 1:30 in the morning. It's one of them, if I'm having one of my insomniac nights, then I will be up and about and watching it, and I can do it. But it's just, if you are up and about tonight, then that's one for you that you can look at. So that is Chile versus Peru. I am going to have a small bet on Chile because I think they're a great price, and if you're up and about and want to trade the 2.5 goals, then do. Nice to see, see, I don't know how you say it, see somebody listen to the podcast. Nice to hear that Daniel Levy listens to the podcast. No sooner do I threaten a couple of rants and we get a couple of players through the door. One, the revolving door, Jack Clark, in and straight back out again. People jumping up and down, there's a fair chance he never plays for Spurs. But the Ndombele signing from Lyon, I think he's just what we need. Fantastic player, in my eyes. I've seen him play many times. I watch a lot of sort of international or European football through the season. I think he is exactly what we need, and he should gel into our team very nicely. So very pleased with that. More with the sort of ambition and the positive statement that it sends to the fans and to the squad for the season, rather than fannying around in the last week like we usually do. So nice to see him actually step up and back the manager early and get the player that we really needed in that position, because we have struggled in that position and wanted. I didn't watch the football last night. Let's cover a few issues, shall we? It wouldn't be the same. I mean, nothing's going to upset me. People think I'm grumpy. I'm not grumpy. I say what has to be said. It's an opinion. You know, people criticise me for saying that I was loaded and when I called people peasants at Wembley. It was a joke. It's a fucking joke. I have got a load of money, but I'm going to die like the rest of us. We're all going to fucking end up dead. Bill Gates is going to end up dead with loads of fucking money in the bank. I'm going to end up dead. My kids, I'm going to knock it all out as quickly as I can if I've got a terminal. It's a joke. Relax. And by the way, the reason I've got fucking money is because I work hard. That's why I've got money. I didn't fall into it. I was absolutely skint, potless, had fuck all, and I work hard. And I joke about it. That's all. Relax. I went through some emails yesterday, people moaning about it. I saw a good tweet from It's a Mugs Game. If you want to do well at this game, take it fucking seriously. I say in my seminars, you lot play at it. You play at it, and then you have a fucking pop at the people who win money when they do screenshots of winnings, or if they say they're loaded. The fucking reason is because I do it better than you. You want to get some fucking money? Work a bit harder and do it properly. Then you might. Fucking moaning at me because I go on about stuff like that. And that's the first one out of the way. Right, football. Didn't watch the football last night, but obviously I saw loads of people coming on, having a pop at the old VAR. You know, even Peter Webb, everybody, VAR's going to ruin the game. No, it's not. I'm a massive VAR fan. VAR is going to stop fucking cheating. That is what it is going to do. Plain and simple. It is. The game is black and white. A goal is a goal, and all you want is the right result. There will be, of course, subjective things like handball, and I do think they need to sort stuff like that out. You know, there's not going to be an end to the drama. Look at the drama, the Paris Saint-Germain Man U game, the penalty that Man U got. I personally didn't think it was handball, but great drama. The goal, Aguero, Tottenham in the Champions League. Will there be better drama than that last season at all? Maybe the two semi-finals, but what fantastic drama that was. Whether you're on the right end of it or wrong end of it, of course, determines your opinion. The goal last night, I've seen a screenshot of it. She's offside. It's simple. She's offside. Now, what will happen, people say it fucks it up, Micron's offside. No, it won't. What will happen is strikers won't stray offside. I watched two of the Premier League's most prolific offside players of all time for numerous years. I think Jermaine Defoe, I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but I think Jermaine Defoe must be one of the all-time top Premier League players for straying offside, and Adebayor, both of them. Massive, massive, always, always caught offside. The reason they caught offside was because they played right on there, because they could get away with it, because they knew that the linesman can't look in two places at once. So how many of Jermaine Defoe's 200-odd goals were legal? We'll never know. Now we will, because the striker's going to have to play better. They're going to have to not be offside. They're going to have to pay a bit more attention to where the defenders are. It will change the way they play the game, and a goal will be a goal. It's fucking simple. I can't see what the issue is. It is simple. Whether a penalty is given or not is a different view. We'll look at it. The referee will look at a VAR and say it's a penalty. We'll be looking at our screens and say, no, it's not. Same with handball. Is it ball to hand? Did it hit the arm? Whatever it may be. So all these things need... all these things need looking at, but it will stop cheating. That is what it will do. I think it is fantastic for the game. You look at goal line technology, the goals that Lampard scored against Germany, robbed. You look at VAR. If we'd had it in Maradona's day, those goals wouldn't have stood. It's going to stop cheating. That is what it's going to be, and we are going to get more and more the correct result. I don't know where this culture of, oh, it's going to ruin football, let's just accept cheating, has come from. It drives me bananas. And of course, most people talking out their pocket. I didn't watch the game, as I said. But if that had been up the other end, and England are 2-1 up, and USA score, and the goal stands, and then they put that picture up and show her a fraction offside, the whole country would be up. And, oh, she's offside, how do they miss that? Yeah, it's pathetic, to be honest. The attitude to it, absolutely pathetic. But we signed in Ndombele, so you're not going to upset me. Accept it for what it is. Accept it's going to make the game better. It's going to make the game fairer. And we're going to drive the vermin that is cheating that has been accepted in football. And I go week in, week out. I'm not an armchair plastic fan. I go week in, week out, and I watch top, multi-million pound players cheat. That is what they do. And now we're going to see, hopefully, an end to it, and we'll see proper games of football where the players are relying on skill, not fucking cheating, and we will get more and more the right results. And that is all that it wants. And of course, there'll be times when it goes in my favour from a punting side of things, and there'll be times when it doesn't. But it is absolutely going to change the game for the better. I firmly believe that. Happy to debate anybody who doesn't. Right, next issue, obviously a few more emails. When I do go through emails, it does give me material. I could go on all day today. About yesterday's little, will I leave the old Brexit business out? So you get the, can we leave Brexit out? Why'd you do it? It's my podcast, I say the same thing every time. What I should do is give these podcasts titles so I can go back and point people to where I say these things. What happened yesterday in that European Parliament is an absolute disgrace. I don't care. I'll listen to other people's views. It's an absolute disgrace. What grown adults paid to do a job to do. You've got that fucking right-wing Kermit the Frog. He's taking a pension, taking money from there, and he turns up there, doesn't really do his job, pops up now and then. He's taken you all for a fucking mug. He's a multi-millionaire, pocketing all the cash and doing fuck all about it. And whatever happens come October, that we won't be leaving on October the 31st, by the way. There's not a chance, I'll tell you that now. Note the day down, 3rd of July, I've told you, there's not a chance. But when we do eventually leave, he will disappear into the sunset with his millions and it won't fucking matter a jot to him. The guy is an absolute parasite. What he did yesterday is a disgrace, and on the other side, turning up with a fucking childish yellow t-shirt saying bollocks to Brexit. They're there to do a job. That is my view on it. They're paid to do a job. They've been voted in to do a job, elected to do a job. Acting like little children is not the way to go about it. But we live in this world now, my view on it all, where lies rule the day. There is no such thing as truth anymore, particularly with the advent of social media. And I'll give you an example. That anthem, that ode the European anthem yesterday that they were playing. Somebody was tweeting last night. I haven't got his name. He was a it's three initials, CSK or something, Ode to Joy. And he posted a long thread about how that anthem was never democratically chosen. England were against it, or UK was against it, sorry. All this shit, and everybody there was on there, and he went, no, it's, yeah, that's right, that's what they do, they just get stuff through, they're trying to take our national anthem, that's what they do, yeah, all this, and there was loads of replies. Nobody ever thinks, actually, hang on, I'll look up and see what this guy's saying is right. That anthem was chosen as the European anthem in 1972, and it was decided at that time, it was never going to replace any national anthem. I'm one who stands proudly and sings the national anthem where England are playing football, for example. It was never going to replace that. It's a piece of music that was chosen in 1972. We've never vetoed it. We've never there. It was revisited again in something like 1985. Again, I'm not got the exact dates. And it was not intended, and it's stated to not ever intended to replace national anthems or anything. It was just chosen because the lyrics of it and the whole thing of it is about bringing people together. For them to stand up and do what they did yesterday, for people to start to say this is start of a fucking eroding the national anthem, it's complete and utter bollocks. Yet somebody tweets it and thousands of replies, yeah, this is what they do. My point is, to all of it, fucking read stuff for yourself. That's all I want people to do. Actually get the facts of what you're talking about. I talk to people about Brexit all day long. I haven't got a massive view on it. I could understand in 2016 why people voted leave. I could understand why people voted remain. What I'd like to see is some adult conversation, it done properly. I can't ever see a resolution to it because we've got 600 fucking idiots and they're self-serving. And my view on politics, somebody said yesterday, my view there, whether you liked her or hated her, the last politician in this country with any conviction, and there'll be people who jump up and down at this, but the last politician in this country with any conviction was Margaret Thatcher. Since then, we have had self-serving individuals from all sides just looking after themselves. That, as I said before, the expenses scandal, how that got washed away so quickly was beyond me. We have got, they're all self-serving. We've got nobody with any conviction. They all sit, try and grab that centre bit of ground because that's where they can win. And they talk shit and they'll say, we'll throw $8 billion at the NHS and we fall for it. And then the next lot say, we'll throw $10 billion at it and we fall for it. Standard of education goes down, health service gets more under strain. Money and things aren't just the answer. We need some bipartisan conversation to get these things sorted out for people of the future. It's not going to affect me. Obviously, if I get ill, then it will, and I've had some great treatment through the NHS for me and Sam. But long term, we're talking about sustaining it for another 100, 200, 300 years. It needs proper people to sit down. We need more houses, things like that. It needs sorting out. And my view is this childish, petulant bollocks that we're putting up with and lying And the country is now doing it as a whole. Population is starting to do it because they're driven by idiots on Twitter. Where if we all just took a step back and actually looked into stuff and read it, and when you talk to people about Brexit and you say, right, tell me laws that the EU inflict on us. Tell me exactly how much money do we. You get completely different answers because, I'm not going to say people are thick because that does upset people, but people don't actually bother to take the time out to read it. Some do, but a lot do not. And that's all I want is people, when you see something, look at it, read it, and find out for yourself and form an opinion. It doesn't have to agree with mine. I'm not asking people to agree with me. I'm just saying, let's have some adult conversation and form an opinion. It doesn't matter what you do. I remember when I was 13, 14, 15, the Sun published whatever it was, Freddie Starr ate my hamster. Did anyone look at that and go, well, he fucking did then? That's the world we're living in now. There's just sensationalist headlines, and everybody, because of the way social media spreads it, as they say, I said the other day, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has got its trousers on, or whatever the saying is. That's where we are. You can have a go at me for criticising yesterday. Don't care. They're fucking children. That is not what they're there for. They're not there to stand up, turn your back, wear silly fucking t-shirts. They're there to sort this fucking mess out. Because every day they spend fucking about is another day it doesn't get sorted out. And unfortunately, we have got Boris the fucking liar, and people go, he'll get Brexit done. The guy is a self-serving liar. That is what he is. He is not the answer. And we need perhaps to get a committee of people across all parties to get this fucking done, rather than a fucking lying buffoon with blonde hair. Right, job done. That's that one finished. If you don't like my politics broadcasts, they're FTS Radio, politics bulletins, don't have to listen. What else was there? We've done VAR, we've done that, we've done the horses, we've done the football, which is the main thing, football and racing. Spurs have signed a player. I don't think I've got anything else. I think it's 16 minutes of... that's it. It will come to me tomorrow. Oh, yes, no, I have got something else. I do apologise. Right, horses. I'm going through some emails, and if I haven't answered you, I am getting to you. Obviously, the macros on the horses. The horse macros are something like, for the year, and this is a rough guess because I haven't got the sheet in front of me, something like 150, 60 points up. First 3 months of the year, they were fantastic. This 3 months of the year, they have slowed down, April, May, June. People start to panic, which I sort of understand. Firstly, you need a big enough bank. I've said in my podcast a couple of weeks ago, horse racing is more volatile. You need a 200, 300, 400 point bank to avoid, to whatever your level of it is. You won't do it, cop it off a 100 point bank. You need to have plenty of points behind you to sustain a bad run. We have had abnormal weather, and it will turn round. Absolutely 100%. Will it turn around this month? I don't know. Will it turn around in a month's time? I don't know. But it will turn around. These have got absolutely as bulletproof as we can get them. But in racing, you will get long downturns. It happens. I'm going to get the results sheet on the website probably Friday, so in the members area, so people can see every horse generated by the macros and get it up to give you a bit more confidence in it. But all I can say to you is, exactly what I've always said, don't panic and don't join racing if it's not for you. You know, it is a different game, so you just need to dig yourself in, set yourself up properly, and if anybody's got any questions, email me and I'll do my best to answer them. I will revisit email again on Friday now because I've got a couple of busy days, and I'll email do that, but it is a completely different beast to football when you're back in, you know, you're back in horses, one of the methods up to 20-1. So do bear that in mind before diving in. And as I say, make sure anything you do, be it ultimate in August, whatever, in the trading, your bank is set up. Whatever you do, you've got a bank and you sit there and you're able emotionally to ride it. There will be a week where you have 10 winners and there'll be a week where you have none. That is the nature of the game. But we'll sort that out on Friday. I will upload the sheet and perhaps put some notes. And then if anybody else who's not a member who wants to have a look at the sheet, then just give me a shout and I'll send it over. Right, that's it. Have a lovely, Wednesday. And I will be back with you in the morning.